The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Gittin Daf Vav, and we are at the two dots on the top of Daf Vav Amid Aleph. So the Gemara is continuing along the sugya that relates to the first line of the first Mishnah of the Masechta, maybe get Mendina Sayam, Tzorach Sheyoymar B'fonai Nechta V'B'fonai Nechta. And as we've seen through the first four or five blot in the Masechta, there was a big Machloikis HaMayroim, specifically Rabba and Rava. Why was it that the Chachamim made this Takana that I maybe get Mendina Sayam, that a Shliach Lahilacha that brings a get from Chutzlars to Eretz Yisrael has to say at the time that he gives the get over to the woman, at the time that he's Mekayim the Shlichos, B'fonai Nechta V'B'fonai Nechta. According to Rabba, the reason was L'fi She'ein B'kiyim L'shma. According to Rava, L'fi She'ein Eidem Etzurim L'kayim. We talked a lot about each one of those opinions. The one chiddush that we saw in the latter part of the sugya is that Rabba Islay the Rava, even Rabba that said that the Chachamim made a takana of B'fonai Nechta, because they were concerned that perhaps the sefer that prepared the get in Chutz La'aretz was not baki in all the halachas of Ksivas HaGet, specifically the halacha that a get needs to be written because of law lishma. He agreed with the Rava's chash that there is an issue of lefisha in edem etzuyim lekaimoy. When he said lefisha in bekiyam lishma, he was just coming to add that in addition to the chashash of edem etzuyim lekaimoy, there's an additional chash of that maybe the get wasn't prepared lishma. So that shitas rabba of lefisha in bekin lishma would only manifest itself with chumra, it would never manifest itself with kula. That's one of the important things that came apparent towards the latter part of the sugya, and it's something that's going to be very relevant in today's daf as well. Either way, zok digmar itmar bavel. If somebody brings a get from bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Bavel's in Chutz La'aretz, Bavel is in Medina Sayam, does the Shliach Lahilacha, who's taking the get from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, have to say B'fanei Nechta, B'fanei Nechtam, or not? Says the Gemara, Machlokes HaMayroim. Rav HaMayroim said, Eretz Yisrael Gittin. Bavel was treated like Eretz Yisrael, meaning, if a Shliach Lahilacha brings a get from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, he does not have to say B'fanei Nechta, B'fanei Nechtam. Shmuel Amar Kechutz La'aretz. Shmuel said it was treated like Chutz La'aretz. Says the Gemara, Leib B'Hakam Mifligi. Perhaps Machlokes is very simple. The Mar Savar, V'Fishen Bikim Lishma. V'Hanik Miri. Rav that said it's Eretz Yisrael Gittin. He held like Rav. That the reason a shliach leilacha that brings the get from Dinas Yom has to say b'fanai nechta v'zlavisha ein b'kiyim l'shma bavel, they were certainly b'kiyim l'shma. As we'll see momentarily, there was even more Torah being learned in bavel than there was in Eretz Yisrael. So certainly the seifim in bavel knew the halachas of l'shma. Thus, it would make sense. It's Eretz Yisrael. You don't have to say b'fanai nechta. But Mar Savar Shmuel that said that you do have to say b'fanai nechta held b'fisha ein edem etzurim l'kayma. He believed that the reason the chachamim made the takana b'fanai nechta was like Rava. It's simply because people didn't travel very often from Bavel, from Medina Sayam to Eretz Yisrael. As a result, the same svara would apply from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Just like people didn't travel from Paris to Eretz Yisrael, people didn't travel perhaps from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael either. And you'll have the same chash. If the husband's going to come, he's going to be Ma'ar. He's going to say that the get and the chsimas on the get were fraudulent. You'd have no way to verify. But the Gemara says it can't be. As simple as it would seem to explain the machloikis as such, it doesn't work. Why? Because Rabbi is to Rava. Because again, we said that Rabbi agrees to Rava's chash, to the extent that there is no Eidem Etzuyim L'Kaimai from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, even though the Bnei Bavel were B'kiyim L'Shma, even Rabba would agree you have to say B'fanai Nechta, B'fanai Nechta. So you can't say that the reason Rav holds Bavel's Eretz Yisrael Gittin is because he holds like Rabba, because to the extent it only works according to Rabba, not according to Rava, then it doesn't work according to Rabbi either, because Rabba also agrees with Rava's chash of L'fisha Ein Eidem Etzuyim L'Kaimai. Ella says the Gemara, you have to say that the Biur, and this Machlek is Rav and Shmuel, is different. The Kuliyama being L'Kaimai, everybody really holds like Rava, that the reason the Chachamim made the Takana of B'fanai Nechta of B'fanai Nechtam was because they were concerned that if the husband's going to be Ma'ar, he's going to say the get is fraudulent, be no way to verify the Chesimus on the Shtar. What then was the Machloikis, whether Bavel should be treated like Medina Sayam, which it is, or like Eretz Yisrael? Rav Sava, Rav held, Kimin Ikim Mesifta Mishkach Shchichi, being that there were yeshivas in Bavel, people would travel from all over the world to Bavel. They would travel from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel as well. They were going to learn in the yeshiva in Bavel. So as a result, the yeshivas caused there to be travel between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, and therefore there will be Eidim Mitzuyim L'Kaimai. So Rav held that, according to Rabba, that there's an issue of Avisha and Biki and Lishma, that's not an issue. But even according to Rabba, and Rabba is later Rabba, there's still no problem. Because what are you concerned? That the husband's going to come, he's going to be Ma'ar. How are you going to verify the Chesimus? There's always people coming back and forth. Bein Hazmanim, people are traveling from the yeshivas to Eretz Yisrael, and vice versa. Therefore, he held the war Eidim Mitzuyim L'Kaimai, so you don't have to say say before I nechta, if you're going from Babel Teretz Yisrael, v'shmul sava, what did Shmuel hold? Misifta b'gersayu tridi. Shmuel said it's true, people are going to learn. But when people go to learn, they sit and learn. And as a result, they won't be able to help you verify the chasimus. What's Rav saying? That if the husband's going to come, he's going to be ma'ari, he's going to say, these witnesses that are signed on the bottom of this get are false witnesses. So they're going to say, does anybody recognize the chasimus? Go ask Yeshiva Bacher. What does Yeshiva Bacher know about people's signatures? Yeshiva Bacher knows the Rashba. He doesn't know anything about the signatures that are signed on the bottom of Shtoris. So Shmuel said that being that the Bnei Yeshiva were bigger Sayu Tridi, so Enochinami, there was travel, but being that it's Yeshiva Bacherim, it's really not going to help us. Itmanami says the Gemara, Araya, that this is the pshat in the machloikis Rav and Shmuel. Omer Ababa, Omer Rav Huna, asinu atzmenu bebovel keretz Yisrael legitim. That Rav Huna said, like his Rebbe Rav, that Bovel is treated like Eretz Yisrael with regards to Gittin, with regards to the halacha of a mevi get, mimdina sayam. That Bovel's not treated like mimdina sayam. It's treated like Eretz Yisrael. From when? Michiyos Rav Bovel. From the time that Rav came to Bovel. And Rashi says that the Itmar Nami is, because if you know a little bit of history, Bovel was thriving in terms of the Torah that was being learned there well before Rav arrived in Bovel. Rav arrived in Bovel in the 3rd century. Torah began to thrive in Bavel already from the beginning of the Churban, when Nebuchadnezzar came to Eretz Yisrael, right at the beginning of Churban Bayis Rishon, which was 700-800 years earlier. From that point on, there was always going to be Torah being learned in Bavel. So the short answer to the Itmar Nami is that if the reason Bavel is treated like Eretz Yisrael is because the people in Bavel were bekin in Lishma, then why was it only Michiyasa Rav Bavel? It should have been that way 700-800 years earlier already, from the time that Torah was being learned. The Torah says it has nothing to do with the fact that they were bekin in Lishma. Bekin in Lishma doesn't help me. Why doesn't it help me? Because Rabbi Islay the Rav, there's still going to be an issue. When did Bavel become like Eretz Yisrael? When there were yeshivas in Bavel. And when did the yeshivas emerge in Bavel? That was Michiyos Rav Bavel. When Rav came to Bavel, he opened up a big yeshiva in Bavel, as we're going to see momentarily. And it was from that point on that not only was the Torah being learned in Bavel, but people were traveling from all over the world to visit and learn in the great yeshivas in Bavel. That's when there was Eidah Mitzuyin L'Kaimoy. That's why Rav held that from that point on, Bavel has to be treated like Eretz Yisrael. There will be Eidah Mitzuyin L'Kaimoy. Hamevi get me Bavel. Doesn't have to say before Nech. Shmuel argued. Shmuel said a svara. Misef de Begir Sayu Tridi. They're not going to be Baki. But either way, even Rav that said that Bavel should be treated from Eretz Yisrael, it's not from the time that there was Torah being learned. It's from the time that the yeshivas were established. And that was, in fact, Michiyos Rav Bavel. So really, in order to have a really good, rich understanding of this Gemara, of Bavel being treated like Eretz Yisrael, and the history of it, I think you have to have a little basic background of the history of Bavel, specifically the Torah that thrived in Bavel. So now we know that right at the beginning of the Churban, the onset of Churban Bayis Rishon, Nebuchadnezzar comes to Eretz Yisrael and he takes many young Jewish boys with him back to Bavel. This was, I believe, 11 years before Churban Bayis Rishon. It's what the Gemara, Psukim, Yirmiyahu, and Divrei Hayamim refer to as Golas Yechonya. Yechonya was a Melech Yisrael. He was the king of Yisrael at the time. He was the second to last king of Klal Yisrael. The last, of course, was Tzidkiyahu. Yechonya is the Melech Yisrael. Nebuchadnezzar comes to Eretz Yisrael and he rounds up the young child prodigies. Chazal say that who were these young child prodigies? They were young, smart boys, Talmidei Chachamim, all very learned, and Nebuchadnezzar wanted them because as bad a guy as Nebuchadnezzar was, he was no fool. And he understood that if he wants his civilization, his country to thrive, there's no better way to do it than by taking young Jewish talent, bringing them back to his country, and making them into artisans and professionals. It's going to be very good for his business. It's going to be very good for his economy. See, he takes these young Jewish boys with them. In fact, Sefer Esther, in Megillas Esther, there's a few psukim that you read, Beloshen Eicha, Zasher Hoglam, Yechonya Melech Yehuda, Mordechai Atzadik. One of the things the Pasuk says about Mordechai, that he was from those people, from those young child prodigies, that Nebuchadnezzar chose to take back with him to Bavel, simply because he understood that he was from those young Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Daniel. These were all amongst this group of people. But Chazal say that from that point on, there was always going to be Torah. You had young Talmidei Chachamim. They secretly started opening up yeshivas, and there was always going to be Torah in Bavel. In fact, more Torah in Bavel than there was in Eretz Yisrael. One Gemara that illustrates this very, very clearly is the Gemara Masechta Sukkah, Daf Chof Amud Aleph. The Gemara says as follows. There were 3 times in history where Torah was forgotten in Eretz Yisrael. and to revive the Torah in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem sent somebody from Bavel, and he came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael so that the Torah that was forgotten would be remembered, and like this, there would always be Torah in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says as follows: originally, the first time Torah was forgotten in Eretz Yisrael, Ezra came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and he once again established Torah in Eretz Yisrael. It was forgotten a second time. Hillel came. A third time it was forgotten. Three times in history where Torah was forgotten in Eretz Yisrael, and they needed reinforcements from Bavel to come to make sure Torah wouldn't be forgotten. Says Rashi, where was all this Torah in Bavel coming from? Why was there so much Torah there? Because going back already to the times of Golos Yechaniah, there was always Torah in Bavel. So Torah in Eretz Yisrael, Torah in Bavel is something that always existed. However, there was a turning point, as we see in our Gemara, Mechiyasa Rav Bavel. Rav came to Bavel 800 years later. Approximately the year 250 is when Rav came to Bavel. He had lived in Eretz Yisrael. He came up to Bavel. When he came to Bavel, he started a yeshiva. The yeshiva that Rav started was in the city of Sura. At that time, there was one other yeshiva in Bavel. That was in Naharda. Shmuel was yeshiva in Naharda. When Rav came, they wanted to make Rav Rosh Yeshiva. And Rav was really older than Shmuel. But L'chvoidai Shal Shmuel, he didn't want to take Shmuel's position. So he said, let Shmuel be Rosh Yeshiva in Arda. He opened up another yeshiva. He opened up a yeshiva in Sura. Rav had opened the yeshiva towards the end of his life. He was only Rosh Yeshiva for a period of about 20 years. After Rav was Nifter, his Talmud Rav Huna took over. He became the next Rosh Yeshiva. As it relates to Shmuel's yeshiva in Arda, it actually had a very tragic ending. The yeshiva burnt down. It didn't last very long. After the yeshiva burnt down, they relocated the yeshiva in Pumpadisa. Pumpadisa today, incidentally, is where the city of Fallujah is. That's where Pumpadisa is. So Rav's yeshiva in Sura remained in Sura at that point under the guidance of Rav Huna. The yeshiva from the Harda went to Pumpadisa. The Rosh Yeshiva of the yeshiva in Pumpadisa was the great Rav Yehuda. It's interesting, Rav Yehuda was Rav's Talmud. Om Rav Yehuda Marav is something you find, I've read this, over 400 times in Shas. Om Rav Yehuda Marav. But you also find Om Rav Yehuda Mashmul. So at some point, Rav Yehuda left the Rav's yeshiva and he went to learn in Shmuel's yeshiva. Not only did he go to learn by Shmuel, he became the next Rosh Yeshiva. He took over the position. I've seen it suggested that it could be, there is evidence to this, that after Rav was nifted, nobody wanted to take over Rav's position. People were afraid to be mamala mokim for Rav, and the yeshiva was left vacant. There was no Rosh Yeshiva. So if there was no Rosh Yeshiva in Rav's yeshiva, and the Shmuel's yeshiva down the block, so what did people do? They left Rav, they went to Shmuel. In fact, Rav's own son became a Talmud Muvik of Shmuel, but either way, it's possible that it was during that period that Rav Yehuda left Rav, he went to Shmuel, and he actually became the next yeshiva. But what's interesting is that these two yeshivas, Sura, Naharda, eventually to become Pumpadisa, were the cornerstones of Torah that was going to be learned in Bavel for the next 700-800 years. And not just that, but from a governance perspective, the Yidden in Eretz Yisrael were always ruled by the Nasi. In Bavel, they were ruled by the Reish Kalusa. You find throughout the Gemara, there were certain Amiram, they were very close to the Reish Kalusa. The Reish Kalusa was a real thing. In fact, the Roshei Galusa, they were recognized as people of Chashivos by the Babylonian government. They were all Enekloch of Dovin HaMelech. They had Yichos. It wasn't just a punked elected and an elected official. These were people that were very powerful. They had real powers. It's Mavur that way throughout the Gemara. And the Reish Kalusa was always recognized as the spiritual leader in Klal Yisrael until Rav came to Bavel. When Rav came to Bavel, the spiritual leadership of Klal Yisrael shifted from the Reish Kalusa to the Rosh Yeshiva. And the Rosh Yeshiva initially were Rav and Shmuel, Rav Huna and Rav Chizna. And if you look at the names of who the Rosh Yeshivas are, you'll be familiar with many of them through the Gemara, and it lasted straight through the Gaonic period, which is into already the 11th century, until the Middle Ages, right into the times of the Rishonim. But either way, that's the history of Rav coming to Bavel. Torah was there already from the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, from the Cheresh Ramaskir, from the time of Golos Yechaniah. But when Rav came to Bavel, there was a very obvious turning point, and not only was the Torah, but now there were going to be Shiores Mitzuyas. It was going to become the center of the world in terms of people traveling. And it was from that point on that Rav said that Bavel is treated like Eretz Yisrael legitin. Zok the Gemara Vayta. Most of Rabbi Yirmiyos, Rabbi Yirmiyos has the kasha. So we have a machlokes Rav and Shmuel. I maybe get me Bavel Eretz Yisrael. Tzarich sheyoyim abafanei nechta v'abafanei nechta. Ayein tzarich sheyoyim abafanei nechta v'abafanei nechta. Most of Rabbi Yirmiyos, Rabbi Yehuda said, it says in our Mishnah that what are the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael as it relates to this halacha? But maybe get me dinasayom. Mirekem lemizrach. Virekem kemizrach. Mi ashkelon ledar. Kedorim, Ashkelon Kedorim. Me'akel Litzafin, Va'akel Kitzafin. The Mishnah laid out exactly what the boundaries are. Fake the Gemara of a Bavel, it's made there to Yisrael. Kind of. Bavel is to the north of Eretz Yisrael. How do you know that Bavel is to the north of Eretz Yisrael? The Chsiv, as the Pasuk says, Vayim Hashem Eilai. Hashem tells Yirmiyo, Mitzafin Tipas Achara, that all the terrible things that are going to happen to the Yidden are going to come from the north. And where do they come from? Bavel. Thus you see that Bavel is to the north. Incidentally, all the Bavli Musa, this is a layup, say, how do you know Bavel's Litzfinish al Eretz Yisrael? A Pasik, Mitzafin Tipas Achara, you know Bavel's in Eretz Yisrael, because if you look at a map, you'll see it's to the north of Eretz Yisrael. So, why do you need a Pasik for that? So the Bavli Musa all say the same idea, that the biggest raya to something is Vashtet and Torah. Because if the Metzias would be Mashma one way, and the Torah would say something else, of course the Torah would take precedence. The Metzias always has to defer to what it says in the Torah. So if you could bring a weak raya, and you could bring a strong raya, you're always better bringing the stronger raya. The best raya that Bavel is to the north of Eretz Yisrael is a pasuk. Mitzafin tipas achara. But either way, Bavel is a tzfanish of Eretz Yisrael. And the Mishnah says that what's the border of Eretz Yisrael to the north as it relates to maybe get Medina Sayyam? It's Akoy, Akoy Litzafin, Vitnan, and even Rameyer, who argues in the Mishnah, Rameyer, Akoy Keretz Yisrael Gittin, he said that Akoy is Keretz Yisrael. But for the Rameyer, Lokomet, Lava Akoy the Mikrovo, that's Akoy, which is really close to Eretz Yisrael. Ava Bavel, the Merchiko Bavel, which is really far from Eretz Yisrael. Lois, the Kasha is, it's a very nice Svara why Bavel should be treated like Eretz Yisrael, but it doesn't stem with the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says very, very clearly, Akoy is the border of Eretz Yisrael with regards to Gittin, the border to the north, and Bavel is way beyond that border. Says the Gemara, who Moisavla, who Mefarikla, Rabbi Yirmi asked the question, and Rabbi Yirmi himself gave the answer, Labar mi Bavel. You have to say that, you're right, it's an exception. Big picture, for the most part, Akkad is the border. There is an exception. What's the exception? Bavel. Says the Gemara, Teichani Bavel. Okay, so if Bavel has a very special status with regards to the halachas of Gittin, so you have to know now what the boundaries of Bavel are. What exactly makes up Bavel? Amar Papa, Ki machloikis liyuchsen, kacha machloikis l'gittin. And then the Masechtas Kedushin, there's a machloikis amayiram, exactly what the boundaries of Bavel were with regards to the halachas of Yichus. So whatever the machloikis is there, that's the machloikis over here. Rabbi Yosef, says no. Machloikis liyuchsin, aval gittin, by yuchsin, there's a machloikis. Regarding gittin, everybody agrees, we all are in agreement what the boundary of Bavel is. Divya kol, what is the boundary? Ad arba tinyono de gishra. It's the second willow swamp past the bridge. So unless you're a local, it's not exactly clear what that is, but apparently, for the Talmud, yeah, made sense in the Gemara. So, the Gemara. Rav Chisda matzrich me aktisvain lebe ardashir. Rav Chisda said that if somebody brings a get from aktisvain to be ardashir, these are two medinois in Bavel, you have to say befanai nechtav. Ubefanai nechtam. Umi be ardashir laktisvain, but if you're bringing from be ardashir taktisvain, loy matzrich, then you don't have to. So, the Gemara, let me go sofer. What's the machlekes? I mean, what's the reason for it? Levishem begin lishma. Probably because Rav Chisda held like gravel. That the reason you say befanai nechtav is because people are not begin lishma. Bahani gmiri. So, the people in Aktisvoin were not Bekin Lishma. Therefore, if you're going from Aktisvoin to Be'ar this year, you would have to say Befanei Nechtav. The people in Be'ar this year were Bekin, and therefore, if you go from Be'ar this year to Aktisvoin, you don't have to say, but the Gemara says it doesn't work. So Rabbi is like the Rava. That'd be very good if Rabbi didn't hold of Rava, but Rabbi holds like Rava. So if there's an issue of Fishain Eidem Mitzuyim Lekaimoy, then you should have to say in both ways. Elo, the Kuliam Bin Lekaimoy, everybody holds like Rava, that the reason there's a Takana Befanei Nechtav is so that in the event the husband comes to be ma'ar, there'll be a way to verify the chasimas. V'hani kimi da azri l'shuka lo haslam, hani chiyadi b'chasimas yodah dahani. V'hani b'dahadach lo yadi, my time b'shukai v'chridi. So apparently the people from Ardashir used to go to Aktisvoin to the shuk. And what would happen is they would do business, they were coming to buy things, and they would buy things on credit. They had memos. So they would take the schayra back with them, and they would give them some guarantee. They'd write a shtar. So the people in Aktisvain recognized the chasimas of Be'ar Dashir because they were holding on to their shtars. However, the people from Be'ar Dashir never got to recognize the people from Aktisvain's signatures because although they did business with them, but they were so focused on what they had to do, which was buy merchandise and buy schayra, so they were Bishukayu Tridi, they never got to know their chasimas. Thus, from going one place to the other, you do have to say Befanei Nechtav. From the other place, you would not have to say Befanei Nechtav. Rabbi Baravua, Matzuch Mi Arsa La Arsa. Rabbi Baravua said that if somebody is going even from one arsa to another arsa, literally from one row of houses, one development to another development within Bavel, you have to say before Nechtav. Even from one block of houses, not just from a development to a development. So you have literally one block of townhouses. From what Rashi says, Shchuna Shloisha Batim. Every three houses to the next three houses. Rava said even in one Shchuna you have to say before Nechtav. Rava? Didn't Rava hold Lefishen Edom Mitzuyim Lekaimoy? So if he is the one that says Lefishen Edom Mitzuyim Lekaimoy, why Mishkuna Lashkuna should you have to say Befanei Nechtav? Says the Gemara, Rava said this halacha to his own kehila. Where was Rava the Rav? In Mechuzah. Rava was the Rav in Mechuzah, and the Bnei Mechuzah he held would have to say Befanei Nechtav, even if they're literally going across the street. And the reason is, Kishani Bnei Mechuzah in the 90. The people of Mechuzah, they didn't know each other. They didn't really know their neighbors very well. They were always traveling, they were on the move, they were business people. Rashi says, they were Terudim B'Schayr. There are a lot of Gemaras where apparently the Bnei Mechuzah were very wealthy, and there's different Gemaras where Rava gives Teichacha to the Bnei Mechuzah for the very lavish and luxurious lifestyle that they used to live. But either way, so one of the things they used to like apparently was traveling. They went on vacations, business trips, etc. So therefore, they wouldn't recognize the chasimais even of their neighbors. So even Rava, who holds, the whole takana was, for his own kehila, he said, you're going on every shliach la'ilacha, mishchuna l'shchuna, would have to say, b'fanai nechta, b'fanai nechta. If you look at the bottom Tosfos says, mikan poisek Rabbeinu Tam, based on this Gemara, Rabbeinu Tam paskin, the hashto, bizman hazet, tzorech loymar, b'chol mokoim, b'fanai nechta. That any time a shliach la'ilacha brings a get, he has to say, b'fanai nechta. Af agaf the kamelon k'rova, even though we paskin like Rava, the omar l'fisha in the mitzuyim l'kaimoy, v'loy mishum l'shma, l'fi, mikan mokoim, tzorech, the hashto, b'chol mekoim, is naidik ibn Mechuza. Says, today we're considered travelers, and as a result, no matter where you're taking a get from, wherever it's going to, you're always going to have to say b'fanai nechtav, because we're like the Bnei Mechuzah, we're considered to travel. And incidentally, this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, it's in Hilchas Gittin, Eben Ezra, Simen Kuf Mem Beis of Cotton Olive, the Ramah, ubizman hazeh hamevi get afilu mibayis lebayis be'ir achas tzorich loymar b'fanai nechtav ubefanai nechtav. And in parentheses, the Makoras Tosfos Reish Gittin, it's this Shitas Rabbeinu Time said, this is actually Halacha L'Maisa. We also spoke out the Halacha L'Maisa last week from Shul Nigra and the Chassam Sefer that we don't even trust the Shliach necessarily today to say B'fanei Nechtav, B'fanei Nechtav, based on the Psaka, the Mechaber in Simen Kuf Mem Alephs of Kotan Lama Gimel, which is based on the Rambam Shita, that someone that's Pasal Eidus is Pasal to be a Shliach La'ilacha, and Stam Ma'aretz Bizman Azeh would be Pasal Eidus because he's Becheskas Rasha, thus he'd be Pasal to be a Shliach La'ilacha. So he has to say B'fanei Nechtav or B'fanei Nechtam, that's this Ramah right here. At the same time, he's a Chashud, we don't necessarily trust him when he says B'fanei Nechtav, B'fanei Nechtam. So what do you need? You need a really good Shtar Hashah, and that was the Tshuva from the Chassam Sefer that we spoke about already last week. Either way, Rav Chanan was saying over the following. Rav Chanan Aisigita. Rav Chanan brought a get. V'loya dana, I don't know. I mean, Rav Chanan wasn't clear of the story. It was from Surah Lenahardah. This was from Rav's yeshiva to Shmuel's yeshiva. So he didn't know if it was from Surah Lenahardah or was it from Nahardah. Also, he came to Rav. You don't. Be of this, however, if you say, Ahanes, it's going to work. My of this Ahanes, what does that mean? He told him a chiddush. You don't have to say b'fanei nechtav surin etaridah. However, if you say b'fanei nechtav b'fanei nechtav, and then afterwards the husband comes and he's ma'arer, we're not going to pay attention to the husband. Meaning we're going to accept the eidos of b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtav. And the reason this is a chiddush is because really the whole b'fanei nechtav b'fanei nechtav itself that we accept the eidos of the shliach is a chiddush. Because really he's testifying about a davish of erva, vein davish of erva bachas mishnei. So the Gemara said it was a special takana, mishum iguna akilu b'rabanon, that we accept even the eidos of an eidechot. But so kedai techamina that the only time the eidechot should be believed is where there's actually an obligation, there's a takana that you have to say b'fanei nechtav. But to the extent over here you don't have to say b'fanei, so maybe even if the shliach does say b'fanei nechtav, he's not going to be believed. That's the way the Ritva explains this Gemara. That was the chiddush, that even though you don't have to say it, e of this ahanes, if he does say b'fanei nechtav, it's going to work. And the Gemara says, I'll prove it to you from a b'raisa. The times we went to the b'raisa, there was a story with a person shaving a lefnei Rabbi Shmuel. He brought it get before Rabbi Shmuel. He told him, tzarech ani lo b'fanei nechtav, do I have to say b'fanei nechtav or not? Where are you from? Rabbi, I'm from Kfar Sisoy. You do have to say b'fanei nechtav, shloi tizakik le'edim. So that in the event the husband comes and he's ma'arer, you won't have to try to find edim like this. You have the b'fanei nechtav, you have the kim shtaris, you have nothing to worry about. After he left, nichnas l'fanav Rabbi Yiloi. Rabbi Yiloi walked in. Apparently he had overheard what this Adam Echad told him, Rabbi Yishmol told him. So Rabbi Yiloi comes in, he challenges Rabbi Yishmol. I'm like, Rabbi, I don't understand. You just told this Yid who brought a get from Kfar Sisoi that he has to say b'fanei nechtav, ali Kfar Sisoi muvlas b'tchum Eretz Yisrael. Kfar Sisoi is muvla within the tchum of Eretz Yisrael. V'kroi v'le tzipoiri, yoyse v'yakoi. It's closer to tzipoiri, which is part of Eretz Yisrael, then Akoi. Vetran Rameir Akoi Keretz Yisrael Legitin. And Rameir said that Akoi is the boundary Legitin. Vafil Rabbanon. Like Pliad, Rameir Laba Akoi. Even the Rabbanon in the Mishnah that argue with Rameir, they only argue regarding Akoi itself. The Merchaka, which is a little far. Aval Kvarsi Soi, the Mikvaloi. Meaning, based on the way the boundaries were set up in the Mishnah, Kvarsi Soi should not be a place where you have to say b'fanei nechtav. So Rabbi Yiloi asked Rabbi Yishmol, why do you tell this other mechad that he has to say b'fanei nechtav? L'chura, your psak halach is k'neged the Mishnah. Amalois, Rabbi Yishmol told him, shtoik b'ni shtoik. Be quiet, my son. I mean, not my son, he's talking to Rabbi Yiloi, I'm sorry. Hail v'yotza hadover beheter yotza. What was he telling him? I didn't tell him he has to say b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav. What I really told him was, say b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav. Because I wanted that in the event that the husband comes later to be ma'arer, you won't have to be busy trying to be mekayem the chaysamos. But not that he has to, I just wanted him to. And it's based on the gemara that we said before, that even if you're not mechuyif to say b'fanei nechtav of the sahanes, if you do, it's going to work, and that's kidetanya, that is the raya that we're bringing from this braisa to what Rav said, that even when you don't have to say b'fanei nechtav or b'fanei nechtav, if you do say it, it works, so that it is as if two edim were mekayim the chaysamos, if the Baal comes later to be ma'arer, we're not going to pay attention to what the Baal said. Ha'iyu nami, but the gemara is medayin, the gemara makes a different deal than what Rabbi Yishmol said. The gemara says, ha'iyu nami shleit the Gemara said, "Why didn't Rabbi? What was Rabbi Yiloi's havamina? Because if you think of about what Rabbi Yishmol told him, he told him tzarech atoloyim b'fanei nechtav shloit tizakik le'edim. Why did he add the word shloit tizakik le'edim? If he had to say b'fanei nechtav, he should have said tzarech atoloyim b'fanei nechtav shloit tizakik le'edim. It's not the reason. The reason is because it's a takaras chachamim that you have to do it. Had Rabbi Yiloi not realized that Rabbi Yishmol wasn't really being mechayev in the ikar adin to say b'fanei nechtav from the fact that he said shloit tizakik le'edim, so the Gemara said, had Rabbi Yiloi been properly informed, had they given him all the information, he would have never made this mistake. But Lo Samu Kameh, they just told him that this other mechad said, I came to Rabbi Yishmol. Rabbi Yishmol said, you have to say b'fanei nechtav. So Rabbi Yiloi came storming into Rabbi Yishmol. Why are you telling him he has to say b'fanei nechtav? So Rabbi Yishmol told me, he didn't give you all the information. I didn't tell him he has to. I told him, shloi tizokek le'edim. I wanted him to say b'fanei nechtav to prevent the situation later. But not that mi'ikra din, this was something that he had to do. Zok to Gemara Vayter. And this next Gemara is a classic. Sholach le Rabbi Vyosar le Rabbi Chizda. Rabbi Vyosar sent the following letter to Rabbi Chizda. Haboim misham lekan gitim that come from Babel to Eretz Yisrael ain't tzarich loymar b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtav. So the shliach loylocha that's bringing the get does not have to say b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtav. Says the Gemara leimakusar v'levishem mikin l'shma. It would seem that Rabbi Yosser holds that the whole takana b'fanei nechtav was levishem mikin l'shma, and the bnei Babel were mikin l'shma, and therefore you don't have to say b'fanei nechtav. V'hani gemiri v'tizbara. Frank the Gemara, I think by now we're certainly getting the hang of it. V'rabbi islay derava. What do you mean? To the extent that you're concerned about people not traveling to and from, then just because the Bikin Lishma, that's not going to help us, because Rabba was also concerned with what? Rabba was concerned with Ella, says the Gemara, the Kulei Alma, Be'inan Lekaimai, that wasn't the pshat in Rav Avyasar, but Rav Avyasar meant to say was, V'kim and Iker Rabim, the Solki, the Nachsi, Mishkach Shchichi, like what Rav said in Amin Aleph, the Mingat to a yeshivas, people used to travel from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, from Babel to all over the world, and vice versa. So Babel is considered a place that people are always traveling to. Thus, you don't have to say, b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav. So it says the Gemara, Rav Yosef heard about this letter that Rav Yosef sent to Rav Chizda, which was a chiddush lahalacha in the eyes of the Amiram, although this was already apparently an age-old machlekes between Rav and Shmuel, but they saw this as news, that Rav Yosef paskind, that I may get mi Babel Eretz Yisrael, even though it's Medina Sayyam, does not have to say b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtav. Omer Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef said that before we get excited about what Rav Yosef said, let's sit down first and analyze who Rav Yosef is. Rav Yosef is not one of the often mentioned Amiram in Shas. So he said, Man Lemel under Rav Yosef Bar Samcho. How do you know Rav Yosef is a Bar Samcho? Just because Rav Yosef said it doesn't mean it's the Emes. Who said he's someone that we could rely on? V'oid, and I'll prove to you that it's not so pashut that he's a Bar Samcho. Because I saw another letter that this same Rabbi Yosser once sent Rabbi Yehuda, and the letter said as follows, he was making a macha about people that used to leave their families in Bavel, and they would go up to Eretz Yisrael for a certain period of time. And Rabbi Yosser was very disappointed about this minhag. He didn't like this minhag. So he said, in Kaimu Ba'atzman, that being Mekayim, a pasuk in Yoel, that says, Vayitnu Hayeled Bazoina, Vahayaldu Machru Bayayim V'yishtu. This is Machlekes Rashi, and Tosfos exactly what this means. Rashi says that they were turning their wives into agunos. They couldn't have children, and it was really bad that these people were leaving their wives back in Bavel. Tosfos says that there was an issue, simply they didn't have food, because the husband would go to Eretz Yisrael, and he leaves his family back. How are they supposed to support themselves? What people used to do is, they would sometimes make their young children work, or Tosfos quotes Yerushalmi that says, Uvda hava b'chad, shemachar bitoy lo moitera v'halach lo. He wanted to go learn. The problem is, how's his family going to be supported while he's sitting in yeshivas? He sold his daughter. He made income. And like this, his family was able to live for a certain period of time. And this was the macha that Rabbi Yosef was making to Rabbi Yehuda. And he quoted this pasuk in Yoel, Vayitnu hayeled bezoina, Vayaldu machra b'yayim vayishn. What was wrong with this letter that he sent? Because of le'ebeloi sirtut. And when he wrote this letter, there was no sirtut. He didn't make a line in the parchment that he wrote his letter on. So what's wrong with that? You have to make a line? That has to be a sirtut? Yeah, because Rabbi Yitzchak said, Shtayim Koisim, somebody who writes two words of Torah on an igeres, on a letter, you have to make sirtut. Two Koisim without sirtut. Shalosh, but if you write three letters, ain't Koisim, you can't write without sirtut. But Masnizan is a brisa that said, Shalosh Koisim, you can write three without sirtut, but Arba ain't Koisim. But everybody agrees, four words, you certainly can't write without sirtut. And here he wrote, Agansa Pasik, Vayitnu Hayelet Bezoina, Vayalda Machru Beyayin, Vayishtu, Amalei Abaya. So, Rabbi Yosef was saying, number one, we don't know who Rabbi Yosef is. Mechatesi is a Bar Samcha. And number two, from this Maisa, looks like he doesn't necessarily know all the halachas. Because he wrote a letter and he violated something that Rabbi Yitzchak said and something that a Braisa said, that you're not allowed to write more than a few words of Torah without sirtut. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya told Rabbi Yosef, Atu kod layod ha'ad Rabbi Yitzchak lav gaber abuhu. I don't understand. Just because he doesn't know something that Rabbi Yosef said that makes him into someone that's not a gaber rabbo, bishlam in milsa l'talya b'svaro, bishlam if you would make a mistake, something that's told you b'svaro lachi, then I would understand why there's a taino. But ha'gmarihi, this is something that's been mesayro. V'gmar le'shmi'alei. Just because he doesn't know this halacha, mehechetesi, that should make him into someone that's not a bar samcha. So we're going to stop smack in the middle of the story. We'll get back to the second part of the story. But before we resume, there's a very important tosfos, and you can't go by this tosfos without speaking out a little bit of it or a little bit of the lamda. So we have here halacha of sirtut. The Gemara brings halacha from Yitzchak and the Masnisa Tana Braisa that you're not going to write more than two words, three words, four words at the most without sirtut, without taking a line and drawing it through the letter where you're writing the Divrei Torah. And that was the kasha, that how could Rabbi Yosser have written this pasuk in Yoel, Vayitnu Hayeled Bezoina Vayaldu Machru B'Yayim V'yishtu, without sirtut? And isn't that a raya that Rabbi Yitzchak is not a gaver rabba? Tosfos asks a gevaldige kasha. Tosfos asks that there's a Gemara Masechtas Megillah where the Gemara says that when a sefer is writing a mezuzah, he has to make sirtut. He has to make these lines in the cloth of the mezuzah. When he's writing tefillin, however, he doesn't need sirtut. Frank Tosfos, how could it be that if you're writing tefillin, you don't need sirtut? Two, three, four words of Torah already need sirtut. So if you're writing a whole parsha of tefillin, alachas kama v'kama, you should certainly need sirtut. So Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam said that Avada, when the Gemara says there in Masechtas Megillah, that tefillin doesn't need sirtut, it doesn't mean that you don't have to make sirtut at all. You have to do something. What you need to do is you would need to make one line of sirtut, and that would be enough. In contrast to mezuzah, where you'd have to be mesartate every single line. So you're writing on a parchment, it's just a blank piece of parchment. There are no lines. So you have to create your own lines. For mezuzah, every shura that you're writing in the mezuzah requires sirtut. Tefillin, every shura doesn't require sirtut. It's enough that if you have one sirtut on top, that would be fine. And to be mekayim, this halacha of Rav Yitzchak and this braisa of three words or four words of Torah, you're not allowed to write without sirtut, it would be enough. There's one line. So enochinami, tefillin is not worse than three or four words of Torah. But for three or four words of Torah, Rabbi Yisrael said you need sirtut, all he meant was you need one line. And for tefillin enochinami, you do need one line. What does it mean? Tefillin ain't tzrichin sirtut, it doesn't need sirtut like mezuzah. Mezuzah is a special halacha l'mei shemisina, you have to mesart it every single shura. Over here, you don't have that halacha, you have to mesart it every single shura. It's enough that it's going to be one line. But then Tosfos says, even a bigger chiddush, Tosfos says that just like the Gemara says, tefillin doesn't need sirtut, meaning you don't have to be masartit every shura. A Sefer Torah doesn't require sirtut either. You could write an actual Sefer Torah without being masartit every single shita. The problem Tosfos has with that is a Gemara Masechtas Megillah. The Gemara Masechtas Megillah, Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis, this is Yeshiva Shetorah 101. The Gemara says that it says in the Megillah, Divrei Sholem Ve'emes. The Megillah's Esther was referred to as Divrei Sholem Ve'emes. Om Rav Tanchum Ve'amri Lo Om Rav Asi Melamed Shetzri. What are the words Divrei Sholem Ve'emes teach us? That the Megillah requires Sirtut Ka'amita Shel Torah. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, what does Ka'amita Shel Torah mean? Sefer Torah Atzma. That just like a Sefer Torah requires Sirtut, so too Megillah's Esther requires Sirtut as well. But Tosfos, we just said, holds that a Sefer Torah really doesn't need Sirtut. So Zok Tosfos, what then does the Gemara mean when it says not like a Sefer Torah, but rather like a mezuzah? And Tosfos says mezuzah is called Amita Shel Torah because it has Kabbalah's O Malchus Shemayim. In other words, it's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos had to learn this Gemara here, Megillah Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. When the Gemara says that a Megillah is called Divrei Sholem Ve'emes, Melamed Shetzricha Sirtut Kamita Shel Torah, does it mean Kamita Shel Torah like a Sefer Torah? Or does it mean Kamita Shel Torah like a mezuzah? Rashi says it means Kasefer Torah. Rashi Shita is that a Sefer Torah is Tzricha Sirtut, which is, by the way, Halacha L'maisa, a Sefer Torah has Sirtut. Every Shura has Sirtut. Tosfos argues. Tosfos says a Sefer Torah doesn't need Sirtut. What does it mean it doesn't need Sirtut? It doesn't mean I'll call Shura V'Shura. It's not worse than four words of Torah that need Sirtut. But for that, one line of Sirtut would be enough. When the Gemara says Divrei Sholem Ve'emes, that a Megillah is like Amita Shel Torah, that it requires Sirtut, it means like a mezuzah. Mezuzah is called Amita Shel Torah because it has in it Kabbalah's Oil Malchus Shemayim. Tosfos asks a gevaldik kasha on Rashi. His kasha is from a Gemara Megillah Daf Yutah Samad Aleph. The Gemara over there says you find in Megillah's Esther that the Torah refers to Esther as an Igeres. And you also find that the Torah refers to Esther as a sefer. Says the Gemara, Omar Rab Chama Bar Guri Omar Rab, Megillah Nikras Sefer, V'Nikras Igeres. Nikras Sefer Shem Tafer B'Chutei Pishton Tzula. It's called a sefer because if you would sew it together with Chutei Pishton, it would be possible. It's called Igeres regarding a different halacha. Frek Taisis a Gavali Gakasha. If you're going to tell me that a Sefer Torah requires Sirtut, why then do I need a special limud of Divrei Sholem Ve'emes to tell me that a Megillah needs Sirtut like a Sefer Torah? Why don't you just learn that a Megillah needs Sirtut like a Sefer Torah from the same exact limud that we learned that a Megillah can't be sold with Chutei Pishton because it's called Sefer? So if you tell me that a Sefer Torah requires Sirtut, then it should be poshut that a Megillah also needs Sirtut simply because a Megillah is called Sefer, just like a Sefer Torah is called Sefer. Sefer Tosa Kasha and Rashi, and that is Tosa's big Kasha and Rashi. Yadua that the Brisker Rav made a beautiful diuk in the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Megillah, Perek Beis Halacha Tes, brings the halacha of Sirtut by a Megillah. And the Rambam's lashon is Vetzricha Sirtut Ketorah Atzma, that a Megillah needs Sirtut just like Torah needs Sirtut. But the Brisker Rav made a beautiful diuk. If you look at the Rambam brings three halachas in this halacha. Ein kois v'nes a Megillah ela bidyoy, ala gvil, oy ala klaf, kisefer Torah. Then he brings the halacha, v'tzricha Sirtut, ketorah Atzma. And then he brings a third halacha, v'ein netferes ela begidin, kisefer Torah. So Brisker Rav was medayik when the Rambam brings the halacha that a Megillah is like a Sefer Torah regarding Dioy and Gvil and Klaf. He said, "In Kaisin Nesam Megillah, Ela B'Dioy El Gvil and Klaf, Kesefer Torah." When he brought the halacha in and Tveras Ela B'Gidin, he said again, "The halacha is Kesefer Torah." But when he brought the halacha of Sirtut, the Rambam doesn't say the word Sefer Torah. Vetzricha Sirtut Ketorah Atzma. So Brisker Rav's diak is by halacha A and halacha C, kisefer Torah. Halacha B, the halacha of Sirtut, it's ketorah atzma. The Rambam left out the word sefer. Every word in the Rambam is precise. So why did the Rambam say ketorah atzma, not kisefer Torah? Said the Briskerov, what you see from this is that the Rambam held that the halacha that a Sefer Torah requires dioy, gvil, and cloth. And the fact that a Sefer Torah can't be written el begitin versus the halacha of sirtut that a Sefer Torah has to have are completely independent halachas. The reason a Sefer Torah needs dioy and gvil and cloth is because that's a halacha in Sefer. A Sefer Torah is called a Sefer. And a Sefer has certain characteristics. One of the characteristics of a Sefer is dioy, gvil, cloth. It's in an etveres el begidin. That's a halacha in Sefer. The reason a Sefer Torah requires sirtut has nothing to do with the fact that it's a Sefer. If a Sefer Torah would never be called Sefer, it would be an igeres. You'd also need sirtut. The halacha of sirtut is because divrei Torah. When you write divrei Torah, you need sirtut. And just like Rabbi Yitzchak said in our Gemara, two words, three words, four words need sirtut. A ganze sefer Torah also needs sirtut. Divrei Torah atzrichen sirtut. Nothing to do with the fact that it's a sefer. Zoktib Riskerov, that's the teretz to Taisa's kasha. Taisa asked the kasha, why do you need a drasha to be shown in the emes to tell me that a Megillah needs sirtut like a sefer Torah? If Megillah is called sefer and you have all these different halachas that you learn out in Hilchas Megillah, from Sefer Torah, because it's called Sefer, learn out Sirtut from the same halach as well. Zoktib Riskerov, two different halachas. You can't learn Sirtut from Sefer Torah, because Sirtut is not halach in Sefer. Like the Rambam says, it's Tzricha Sirtut Ketaira Atzma. The limud that we need, that Megillah should have Sirtut like a Sefer Torah, is that Megillah heis Divrei Torah. That the words in the Megillah are Divrei Torah. For that, I have a special drasha of Divrei Shalom Ve'emes to tell me that it is also a Sefer Torah. There's one big kasha that the Achreinim all ask on the Brisker Rav, and that is from a Gemara Mesech de Soita, believe it or not. The Gemara on Daf Yud Zayin Amid Beis. The Gemara says, Kosvo Igeres Pesula. If somebody writes the Megillah Soita as an igeres, it's possible. B'sefer Amar Achmona. Because the Torah refers to the Megillah Soita as a sefer. Zok Rashi, what does it mean kosvi igeres? B'loy sirtut. If somebody writes a Megillah Soita as an igeres, meaning as if he was just writing a letter, he doesn't put sirtut. The halacha is it's going to be a apostle because b'sefer amar achmana. It's a mefurish gemara that the word sefer is mechayev sirtut. Briskerov had a super lumbus that they say over in yeshivas when you learn gittin. This is a week of first seder. This briskerov that the whole halacha of sirtut has nothing to do with the sefer Torah. It's halacha in divrei Torah. Here you have a mefurish gemara soito yud zayin of the days kosva igeres psula b'sefer amar achmana, that the word b'sefer tells me that you have to have sirtut. So divrei hagriz tzrichen iyun, and there's a lot of Torah that said by the London to be miyashiv this briskerov the inkam akoy milahar. One other interesting halacha that comes out of this long Tosfos here on Davar Mabeis, Tosfos shita is that tefillin doesn't need sirtut al kol shita v'shita, but Tosfos says based on that a very big chiddush halacha that being that tefillin doesn't need sirtut. I'll call shita v'shita. Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the endless sartei tefillin. I'll call shita v'shita. If you don't need it, you can't do it. Why not? Just because I don't need to do it, that means I'm not allowed to do it. Zokt Tosfos, based on a famous Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi that we all know, it's of Hilchas Sukkah fame. Kol ha-potter midavar ve'oseyu nikra hedye. That if somebody's potter from something and he does it anyways, he's nikra hedye. Where's that halach in Hilchas Sukkah? Mitzdar potter v'nasukkah. So you know if it's raining outside, you're not mechuyif to sin in a sukkah. Mitzdar is potter v'nasukkah. The Ramah famously says that if somebody is a mitzdar and he sits in a sukkah anyways, he's nikra hedye. So chassidim, the rebbes, they used to say, I'd rather be a hedye, but at least know that I'm being mekayim mitzvah sukkah. But it's not really mi'ikra din. It's a ramah. V'chol apatim and asukkah v'ene yoytzim misham ene mekabel olav schar v'enen elo hedyotos. That's a lashon ramah. It's simet tovrei shlametes sivkot and zayin. It's based on Yerushalmi. Rabbeinu Tam, here, Tosfos, Gittin, the Vav Amud Beis, applies this Yerushalmi to the halachas of Sirtut. That if the halach is that you're not mechuyev to be mesartei tefillin, al kol shrita v'shita, if you're a cipher and you want to be a mahader, I'm going to do Sirtut al kol shrita v'shita. So, Rabbeinu Tam, it's usher, it's a problem. You're nikra hedyet, it's something that you're not supposed to do. But the emes is, I didn't see anyone ask this question, but divrei Tosfos are tzrichen biur gadol. And the reason is because it's not so poshut that any time a person doesn't have to do something and he decides that he wants to be machmer, that he's nikra hedyet. Yesterday we spoke about the flip side of chumras. But it's certainly not poshut that you're never allowed to be machmir. In fact, there's a very important bir halacha right here on this Ramah, where the bir halacha asks the gevaldige kasha. We know that you're allowed to eat an achilas saroy outside of a sukkah. Let's stick in hilchas sukkah in the same siman of Shulchan Aruch. Siman tof reish lamates. So this Ramah is tof reish lamates of gotten zayin. Move up a few si'ifim. Tof reish lamates of gotten beis. The mechaber over there is discussing that you're allowed to eat an achilas saroy, shina saroy, you're not allowed to do chutz l'sukkah. Achilas saroy, you are allowed to eat chutz l'sukkah. Says the mechaber, umisha yachmer al atzmoy. Let's say somebody wants to be a machmer. V'lo yishta chutz l'sukkah afilu mayim. He's not going to eat. He won't even drink water outside of a sukkah. Harezeh meshubach. It's a wonderful, it's very noble, it's a gavaldig a minute. Harezeh meshubach. Great to fear halacha. What's the difference with someone that's a mitztayer, who's potim in a sukkah, that if he eats in a sukkah, he's a nikra hedyit, and if someone who's eating an achila saroy, who's potim from a sukkah, if he eats in a sukkah, raise a meshubach. It's the Chofetz Chaim's kasha and bir halacha. Zok the bir halacha, ze hakla, hu dafka b'mokem sheyesh by tzad isu. The difference is, you're not supposed to be betzana on sukkahs. Sukkahs is supposed to be in a festive mood. The samachta b'chagecha, especially sukkahs, usmachta b'fnei Hashem alekechach shivas yomim, zman simchaseinu, supposed to be happy on sukkahs. So if you're going to sit in a sukkah, and you're going to be mitzvah, not only are you not being mekayim mitzvah sukkah, but you're doing an iser. The iser is, you're putting yourself into a situation where you're betzar. Being that you're putting yourself into a situation that you're betzar, that's why you're nikra hedyet. You're nikra hedyet because of the invoice that you're paying, that comes along with your chumrah. The invoice is that you're being over an iser. That's the problem. When somebody eats an achilas aroy in a sukkah when really he wasn't mechuyev to, there's no tzad iser, he's not doing anything wrong. He decided that he's going to sit in a sukkah, even though he wasn't mechuyev to. You're nikra hedyet when there's a tzad iser. When there's no tzad iser, it's then, so that's what bothered me. How exactly are you going to be miyashiv sirtut? If the only time you can apply this Yerushalmi, says the Bir Halacha, is when there's a tzad iser, and that's why, for example, you're allowed to eat an achilas aroy in a sukkah. Not only you're allowed to, but harezeh meshubach. So how come Rabbi Tam said that you're not mechuyev to do sirtut, but if you do it, you're nikra hedyet? Why should you be nikra hedyet? L'chura, what exactly is the tzad iser? But there's just one other very interesting halacha l'maisa that's kedai to speak out on this topic, and that is a taz in Simen Tof Ayin Beis. It's the last taz in Simen Tof Ayin Beis in Hilch Tof Ayin Beis in Hilchas Paisach. So the mechaber over there, they're discussing the halachas of when you need haseba by the little seder and when you don't need haseba. So there are times you do, there are times you don't. Says the taz, nearly bechol mokoim sheniskar sheein tzarech lahasev. Every time you find a Shulchan Aruch that you don't have to do a seba, yesh isur lahasev. You're not allowed to. Kedi isur leinyun sukkah dechalapotem and adaver v'oiseu nikra hedyet v'chei matzasi b'shem amarsha. So not only are you not mechuyev to, but their taz shtel su this Yerushalmi of nikra hedyet to someone who sits at the leil seder, he does have seba when you're not mechuyev to. It's interesting that the Magen Avraham here in Sifkot and Vav, also in Tov Fayim Beis, brings this taz. Says the Magen Avraham, I hear the Taz, it's a Mefurish Yerushalmi. However, it's obvious that we have to understand this Yerushalmi a little better. And you can't just take it at face value, because there are many times in Halacha where you find that, to the contrary, there's an inyan, Tavei Olav Bracha, you're allowed to be Machmer. So, the question is, when yeah, when no. Magen Avraham doesn't give us any insight. He doesn't help us out. He just says, not so posh what the Taz is saying. Because you can't oversimplify this Yerushalmi. There definitely are some caveats to when you could apply this Yerushalmi. When you can, when you can't, he doesn't help us out. The Prima Godim in Eshel Avraham, right here, on this Magen Avraham, and he says it again in Mishpat Zayzav, on that Taz, twice in the same simen, says the Eshel Avraham that it could be the way to know when to apply the Yerushalmi and when not to apply the Yerushalmi is if there's another opinion. So it says in regard the very Gishmak. If there's a machlekes apoiskin, and we paskin lekula, like one poisik, and you want to be machmer lechumra kineged the halacha, it could be then you're not going to be called a hedyet. When are you going to be called a hedyet? Where everyone agrees that you're not mechuyev to do something. There's no one who holds in Shas, not in Bavli, not in Yerushalmi, no one holds that a mitzvah is chayiv in sukkah. So if everybody agrees that a mitzvah is potim in a sukkah, and you're going to be machmir, you're going to sit in a sukkah anyways, you're not relying on anybody. There's no one that you could falazach on to sit in a sukkah. Nobody holds that you're mechuyev, and as a result, over there you're going to be nikrahedid. When there's no shita that argues, that's where it's going to be different. Again, how this relates to this Rabbeinu Tam and Hilchos Tefillin, I'm not sure, but this is from the confusing areas in Halacha where this Yerushalmi of someone that's potter from doing something, it doesn't have his nikra hedyet. You know, we always quote this Ramah and Hilchos Sukkah. The Yerushalmi is in the first parak of Masechta Shabbos. This is not a Hilchos Sukkah, the Yerushalmi. This is a Yerushalmi, as you see the Poskim apply to other areas in Halacha. Whether it's Hilchos Stam, this Rabbeinu Tam right here, getting the Avam and Beis, or whether it's the Taz and the Magen Avraham and Hilchos Pesach, of course it relates to Hilchos Sukkah. We once upon a time spoke out from the Vilna Gaon in his Pirush HaMishnayos, right in the beginning of Masechtas Brachos, Ayin Sham. That's something that we've talked about in the past. He has a different mahalach of how exactly to reconcile when you're Nikra Hedyet and when you're allowed to be Machmer. But either way, just some interesting halach. But we have to go back and finish this Gemara right here. So the Gemara is discussing Rabbi Yosser. Rabbi Yosser sent to Rabbi Chisda that if somebody brings a get from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, doesn't say b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav. Meaning Bavel is treated like Eretz Yisrael. And a whole debate broke out as to who exactly Rabbi Yosser was. Is he a Bar Samcha? Is he not a Bar Samcha? So the Gemara said, Rabbi Yosser said, I don't think he's a Bar Samcha. Number one, because Mechatesi is a Bar Samcha. And number two, I saw a letter that he wrote. He quoted a pasuk in Sefer Yoel, and there was no sirtan. And we know you're not allowed to write 3-4 letters without sirtan. So the Gemara said, "Amalei Abaya, Otu Kol Lo Yada Hadar Rav Yisrael Av Gaver Rabbi." Just because he doesn't know Rav Yisrael Salacha, he's not a Gaver Rabbi. Bishlam in Milsa Tali B'Svar Lach. If you didn't understand a Svara, I get it. But Hagmari, Gemara Leshmili. But oh, and this is where we're up to. Ha Rabbi Yosser would ask him, "Mari Al Yadei, Rabbi Yosser, you want to know if he's a Bar Samcha, he has a Haskama from none other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dichsev, and it's a Pasuk in Sefer Shoftim, Vatizne Olav Pelagshay. This is the very beginning of the story of Pelegesh Begiva. And the story of Pelegesh Begiva begins with a Pelegesh leaving her husband's home. And there was Machloikis in the Gemara, why exactly she left. Rabbi Yosef says, Zvuv Matzala, because he found a Zvuv, and he got angry because of the zvuv, the fly that he found, and as a result, he got angry at her, and she was afraid of him, and she left. Rabbi Yonis, and Rabbi Yonis has Nima Matzla. He found a here. The Ashkechei, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yo. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef once met Eliyahu Anavi. Amalei, he asked him, I cover the Kodesh Baruch Hu. What's the Kodesh Baruch Hu doing now? Amalei, us Belegesh Begivio. He's learning the Sugya Belegesh Begivio. Umay, come and Vazok there. Amalei, this is what he's saying. Avi Yosef bini Kachu Oimer. Yonis bini Kachu Oimer. Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef told Eliyahu Anavi, Chas Vishalim, Umi Ika Sveika Kam Ishmaya. Is there a suffix by a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Hashem is not sure if the Alach is like Rabbi Yosef, or if the halacha is like Rabbi Yonasan, Amalesi told him back very mysteriously, Elu ve'elu, divrei elikim chayim. They were both true. What does that mean? Zvuv matza v'loi hikbet. First he found the zvuv, but he wasn't upset when he found the zvuv. Nima matza v'hikbet. Then he found the nima, and then he was upset. Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda said, what does that mean? Why was he not upset when he saw the zvuv, and he was upset when he found the here? Because zvuv bakara, the zvuv, the fly he found in his kara, he found it in his supper. So he didn't care so much. The nima ba'isamakim, but the nima he found ba'isamakim, that upset him. Another pshat, zvuv, mi'isusa, a zvuv, to find a fly in your soup, so it's not so gishmak, but it's not the end of the world. The nima sakanta, but to find the nima, that could already be dangerous for hygiene reasons. Ikeda amri, or some say, idiv idiv ka'ara, they were both found in the ka'ara, and zvuv unsa v'nima pshiusa. The reason he wasn't upset when he found the zvuv, because he understood a fly has a mind of its own. But nima, that already, she should have been more careful. That was pshiusa, and it's for that reason that he got angry. So this is all with regards to the story of Pelegesh Begiva. So what exactly is the story of Pelegesh Begiva? So the story of Pelegesh Begiva is mentioned in Sefer Shoftim. It's in Perek Yotas, and it's interesting. This is actually the last 3 prakim of Sefer Shoftim tell the story of Pelegesh Begiva. And as you'll see in a moment, Sefer Shoftim ends in a very, very somber note. And it's in contrast to the way Sefer Shoftim begins. Sefer Shoftim begins where during the entire lifetime of Yeshua ben Nun, the Yidden all did mitzvahs, they followed Yeshua ben Nun. Everything was really, really wonderful. And there was a lot of potential for very good things to happen right at the onset of from when the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael. But unfortunately, the Yidden had one mitzvah that they were obligated to do when they entered Eretz Yisrael, and they didn't do it. The mitzvah was Hachrim Tachrimim, Meisachai Kol Neshama, as is mentioned so many times in the Torah. They had to wipe out all their enemies. All the people that were the Canaanim living in Eretz Yisrael at the time. Because Hashem was afraid that if you're going to be living amongst bad people, you're going to be influenced by them. They didn't do that. Ultimately, they were influenced by them. And really, it hits its climax right here with the story of Pelegish Megiddo. So let's read it to you quickly inside. There was no king in Klal Yisrael. And because there was no king, there was anarchy. There was a Yid who lived in Har Ephraim, and he took a Pelegish for himself from Beis Lechem Yehuda. Vatizna olav palakshay. Vahi ayoyim. The Pelegesh left her home. Why'd she leave? That's the Gemara we just learned right here. Vatelech mi'itay el Beis Aviyah. And she went back to her father's house. El Beis Lechem Yehuda vatisham arbor chadashim. And she stayed with her father for 4 months. 4 months pass. This man starts to miss his wife. So he decides he's going to go back to Shve's house. He's going to try to convince his Pelegesh, his wife, to come back home with him. Vayokom isha vayelech acherel adaber alibos. He gets up and he goes to meet with her. Lashiva v'nari ima, he takes his hosbucha with him. V'tzemet chamoyrim, and he brings his donkeys with him. V'ativiyeo beisavia, and he arrives at his Shve's house. Vayireo avi hanayra, and the father, his Shve, meets him. Vayismach lekrosi, he was very happy to see that his son-in-law had come for his daughter. And he gave him a lot of chizuk. They had a very nice time for 3 days. It was the fourth day. He says, all right, it's time for me to go home. We spent 3 days with the Shver. Ginnig, it's time to go home. And he wants to take his Pelegesh with him. So the Shver tells his son-in-law, no, one more meal. They ate again. They drank again. And one day led to another day, led to another day. Finally, it's the fifth day, and he's getting antsy. He wants to go already. He says, no, it's time already to go. So finally, against his persistence, he takes this Pelegesh, and they leave together. They're traveling back home to Beis Ephraim, which is where this man lives. Pasuk says that as they're traveling back home, they see it's starting to get dark. They need a place to stay. And the city that was closest to them was a non-Jewish city. So he tells his Nair, why don't we find a place here to settle? He says, well, you're going to stay here. There are no Jews here. No one's going to invite you into their house. If somebody does, it's probably going to be dangerous. There's a city that's part of Shevet Binyamin that's not far from here. Why don't we go there? You go over there. There, I'm sure somebody will be Mach Nesayrich. It makes more sense for us to travel a little bit further. Let's go into Shevet Binyamin. So he agrees, and they're all traveling together. Again, this is the husband, the Pelegesh, together with his Hoizbucher, and the Chamorim. They're all going together. They enter this city, this Giva, in Binyamin. And they're knocking on people's doors. They're trying to get someone to invite them in to stay the night there, and nobody wants to let them in. There's no achnas esarachim going on in Binyamin. And finally, by hine ish zokim ba mimaseh menasad, there was an old man who was coming from the field, and he sees that there's a yid standing with his pelegesh. They're standing outside. He goes over to him and he says, "Me'ayin tovei, where are you coming from?" He tells him, "Over manachim beis lachem yud yarkaz Ephraim. We've been traveling from beis lachem yud until Har Ephraim. I'm on my way home, and we need a place to stay, and there's nobody who wants to invite us to stay." He says, not just that, I don't need food, I don't need anything, I'm loaded with food, we have whatever we need. I simply need a place to stay for the night, and then I'll go off on my own. So the pasuk says, "Vayemer isha zokim, sholim loch, you have nothing to worry about, I don't want you to sleep in the street, come into my house, I'm going to take care of you." Says the pasuk, "Hevim ativin aslivam," they were in their house, they bring out some wine, Mekivim, Meslivim, they're having a good time. V'hinei Anshei Yo'ir, Anshei B'nei'al, Nesavos Abayis. Word gets out that there was a Yid, a Zaken Echad, who invited this person into his house together with the Pelegesh. If the story sounds similar, it's eerily similar to the story of Sadaim. And the people of the city were not happy about this Hachnas HaZarchan that was taking place. Says the Pasuk, Nesavos Abayis, they surrounded the house. Mistakna Aladalas, they stopped banging on the door. V'ayoyimru Eloish Balabayis HaZaken Lemur. They start yelling at the owner of the house, I want you to take this guest that you invited into your house. They wanted to be mezana with him. They wanted to defile him. Mishkov Zachar. Please, this is a man. He came, he traveled. Why are you doing this? This man just wants to stay here for one night. He's going to go and make believe this never happened. He nay in it. They weren't happy. Said, you know what? I'll tell you what. Take my daughter. and the Pelegesh that this man came with, take them, va'anu oisam va'asu lehem atoiv be'enechem. But v'lo ish hazeh lo yisasu dvar hanavol hazeh. But don't touch this man. So this person, this yid, this alter zake, met this yid 3 hours ago, and he's already selling his daughter to save this man. This is bizarre. V'lo yobu anoshim l'shmoyim. But the people weren't happy with that. Va'yichazeko ish be'pilakshoy. So finally, the husband of the Pelegesh takes his Pelegesh. This is the man that he traveled to go bring home, and he throws her outside, and he gives them literally this pack of wolves. Vayedu oisa, and they knew her, they were mezana with her. Vayisaluluba kol halayla adaboyker. Vayishalchuu ka'alois hashachar. And they returned her to the doorstep of where they had picked her up in the morning. Vatovei ho'isha lefneis haboyker. So this woman now comes to the front door. Vatipo pesach beso isha hadena. She comes to the front doorstep, and she collapses right in front of the door. So apparently these two yidden had a good night's sleep. They wake up in the morning. This man, now it's time to go. See, he sees this woman there. He says, get up, let's go. It's time to go home. She didn't answer. And he realized that the reason she didn't answer is because she had died. She had collapsed and died at the doorstep. Says the pasuk, he picks her up, puts her on his chamar, and he travels back home with her. When he gets home, he pulls out a knife. He grabs his pilegesh. He cuts this pilegesh into 12 pieces. And he sends one piece, one body part of his pilegesh to one of the respective shvatim in Klal Yisrael. And people, they go to the mailbox the next morning, they open up and they find this delivery. They couldn't believe what was going on. Emergency parlor meeting. What's going on? It was a pilegesh, 12 pieces. Every shaved is getting one. They verify the story and they find out exactly what had happened. Needless to say, Klal Yisrael were fuming at what had taken place. And being that it had taken place in Shevet Binyamin, they felt that the right thing to do was to take revenge Keneged Shevet Binyamin. So they all come together, and believe it or not, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen, he is the leader of Klal Yisrael at the time, and they go to be soiled by the Urim V'Tumim, and the Urim V'Tumim says you have to fight a war against Binyamin. And they go, they fight a war against Binyamin, and it's a bloody war, it's a civil war. Obviously many people from Binyamin died, but also a lot of Yidden died. It doesn't go well. They go to the Urim V'Tumim again, fight again. A third time, the Urim V'Tumim tells them that they're going to be Matzliach, and sure enough, they were Matzliach to the point where they wiped out Kimat the entire Shevet Binyamin. The puzzle was 600 people from the entire Shevet that survived this war. Nobody had survived. Everybody had been completely, completely wiped out. And this was all a result of this horrible story that happened. And if you fast forward to the end of Sefer Shoftim, which is really where this all ends, by Yomim Ahem, Ein Melech B'Yisrael, that in those times there was no king, there was no ruler, no leadership. Ish HaYosha Be'in of Yasa was the Wild West. It was total anarchy. People were able to do whatever it was they wanted to do. This is the story, the horrible story of Pelegesh Begivah that took place here at the end of Sefer Shoftim. Says the Gemara, how did it all begin? It all began because there was a man who got angry at his wife. Why did he get angry at his wife? Zvuv Matzah, Nima Matzah. Because of that, she leaves, she goes to her father's house, and that sets up a chain of events that resulted in all of this. So Zok to Gemara, we'll finish with this. Amar Rav Chisda, La'olam ayatul adam emi yaseir b'tech beisai. A person has to be so careful not to be too imposing in his house, and not to be someone that the Bnei Bayis are going to be afraid of. She was afraid of her husband, and because of a nima and a zvuv, she got so scared of him that she had to run away. The Hipila Kama River Yisrael, and tens of thousands of Yidden died.